Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Now, this afternoon, we're going to read in Paul's first letter to Timothy. 1 Timothy, and we're going to read in chapter 2. 1 Timothy, and we're going to read in chapter 2 of that letter. Now, we're going to read the first seven verses, but that's just to give us the sense and the setting of the chapter and the content. But we're really going to be focusing our attention really to verses 3, 4, and 5 and 6, that middle little paragraph. So we're going to read verses 1 to 7, but if we just keep in mind, we're particularly interested in verses 3 to 6. So 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul writes, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." Now we know that God will bless this reading from the scriptures. Now, there are three things I want to just bring before you this afternoon for a few minutes. The first thing is I'd like to say a little bit about the character of God as it is revealed to us in these verses. Paul speaks about God in a very remarkable way in verse 3. He says, "In the sight of God, our Saviour." And we want to think about the fact that God is a saviour God and what that involves. Then secondly, in verse number 4, we're going to think about the will of God. We've read in verse 4 a very particular aspect of that will, who will or who desires that all men be saved. And so we are confident this afternoon as we preach the gospel, then we are confident that there is a God in heaven and he desires the salvation of all men. And then thirdly, we're going to think about the provision of God. And that really brings us into verses 5 and 6. And the Lord Jesus is presented to us in a very wonderful way. He's presented to us as the one mediator between God and men. And the provision that he has made in verse 6, Paul directs our attention to Calvary, and he tells us that the Lord Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. And so there is provision. There is enough, if you like, in what the Lord Jesus has accomplished at the cross so that men and women and young people can be saved. So that's what we want to think about for a few minutes this afternoon. So first of all, in verse number 3, Paul speaks about God as the sight of God, our Saviour. Now, he's already spoken about God in that way in the opening verse of the book. And we might ask ourselves the question, in what way is God a Saviour God? Well, the first thing to recognise is that salvation, as it is presented to us in the Bible, comes from God. God saves. He is the source of salvation. It is God who sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. It was in the heart of God to move out to men and women and boys and girls in their sins, in their distance from God, and to provide salvation. He is the very source of salvation. But not only is he the source, but he actively moves out towards men. And it is no accident this afternoon that we are gathered together in this meeting room to hear the message of the gospel. You made a choice to come. You made a decision to come. But nevertheless, God is moving in the lives of men and women so that they might come under the sound of God's word and hear the gospel. He is a saviour God. He has the salvation of men and women at heart. And we want to stress that this afternoon, that the God of heaven is not a God who is remote and disinterested in the affairs of this world, but rather he is deeply concerned about individual men and women and boys and girls, and his desire, as we'll come to it in a moment, is to see them saved. And he has moved in that direction. He has sent his Son. The Lord Jesus has come. He has died and risen again, and there is salvation. And God is presented to us here as a saviour God. It is the same God who in the Old Testament says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." And so the wonderful thing is, although God is a righteous God, God is a holy God, God is a God of immense, immeasurable power and wisdom and understanding. He's the God who created the universe. But isn't this a wonderful presentation to us this afternoon? Says the apostle, God our Saviour. But then he speaks about the will of God. What does God want? That is the question that is brought before us in verse number 4. And Paul says, who desires to have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And so if you're in this meeting room this afternoon and you're not saved, and you might ask the question, what does God want for me? What does God want for me in my life? Well, the answer is very simple. He wants you to be saved. That is the fundamental thing that this verse is presenting to us. God desires, God wills all men, and of course here it's not to be thought of as just males, it's males, females, men, women, young people, no matter the age, no matter who we are, he desires all men to be saved. Now that, of course, immediately raises some questions in our mind. The first question that might come into our mind is this: does that mean I need to be saved? Well, that is the implication of the verse. If God desires all men to be saved, then that is an indication to us that all men and women need to be saved. We have a need to be rescued. And that, of course, leads to another question. This is a word that appears frequently in the Bible, saved, salvation. I've used it many times already this afternoon. And you might ask the question, saved from what? Saved from what? And as we come to the Word of God, we discover that we need to be saved from our sins. That was the reason the name Jesus was given to the Lord when he was born. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the reason that is necessary is because those sins have a penalty attached to them. Those sins must be accounted for before God. God is righteous. That is part of his character. God is holy. God must hold men to account. And yet, before the face of God, we are guilty. All of us are sinners in his sight. That indeed is how we were born. And we have been affected by the fall of Adam. The whole race has fallen. And we have manifested that nature within us by sinful actions and sinful thoughts. Thoughts that are contrary to God's mind and God's words. Or to put it another way, we have broken his laws, his commandments. And there is an unmistakable presentation in the Bible that we need to be saved. Indeed, Peter, he would remind us in the Acts of the Apostles, as he speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ, he reminds us that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus stressed the same thought when he was speaking to Nicodemus. He told Nicodemus that he must be born again. Natural birth wasn't enough to bring him into God's family and a place in God's kingdom. He needed to be born again. And so God has a desire for that. God desires all men to be saved. And yet I want to just narrow this down in our experience. It's not that God simply sees humanity as one mass and says, I want them saved. He sees individuals. He's created individuals. He's made us unique. He's made us different from anyone else. And if you were to ask the fundamental question this afternoon, what does God want for me? What is God's will for me? 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4 makes it very clear. He will have all men to be saved. My question to you is this. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be saved? You see, God's will for us doesn't override the fact that God has given us a will. The Lord Jesus spoke about this in John chapter 5 as he spoke to Jews who were opposed to him. And he said this, ye will not come to me that you might have life. And so it is the case that God desires the salvation of men and women. But my question to you as an individual in this meeting room this afternoon is this, do you want to be saved? The Lord Jesus had a conversation with a woman. It's recorded in John chapter 4. And it starts off with the Lord Jesus asking the woman for a drink of water. Give me to drink. And there's no indication in the passage that the Lord actually ever got a drink of water from her. But he spoke to the woman about living water. And at the end of that part of the conversation, the woman said to him, give me that water. Now, I don't think she really understood what the Lord was speaking about, but what she had come to was this, she wanted, she willed to have what Christ could give her. I wonder, my dear friend, this afternoon, whether you realize the gravity of your situation. Whether you recognize that you're a sinner before God and you have an understanding that that will bring about in your experience eternal separation from God, under the judgment of God, and yet God desires that you be saved, there needs to be a change of your will. And you need to be like the woman of John 4, and you have to come to the point where you want it. You want to be saved. And not just want to be, but there's got to be an action associated with that. You remember the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, as he's squandered his father's possessions and in abject poverty, feeding on the food that the swine ate, he begins to think of his father's house and he says, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. And he resolves to go and to confess before his father. You see, God desires your salvation. But there's got to be a response in your heart to what God has done in the person of his son. A willingness to accept God's verdict about you is true. It's called repentance. That we turn away from our own thoughts and our previous life. And in faith we trust in Christ. The will of God. The character of God. He's a Saviour God. The will of God, he desires all men to be saved. What about the provision of God? Verse number 5 and 6 gives to us this wonderful truth. Now, the first thing is that the Lord Jesus is presented to us as the one mediator between God and men. Now, Paul prefaces that statement with this: there is one God. Now, Paul is writing to Timothy at Ephesus. At Ephesus, there was plenty of gods, whole pile of gods. There was Diana of the Ephesians and a whole plethora of deities. But not one of those deities had in mind the salvation of men, because they simply weren't gods at all. They were gods of man's imagination. There is one God. And there is only one go-between, between God and men. That's the idea of the mediator. One who can go between men and God. As it were, he can lay his hand on men, and he can lay his hand on God, because he is both God and man. And what is stressed for us in this verse is this: that the Lord Jesus is a man, the man Christ Jesus. The idea is this: himself a man. It reminds us of the wonderful fact of incarnation, that the one who is eternally God the Son became flesh, lived amongst us, lived that perfect life, manifesting the heart of God. But he did far more than that. As verse 6 number 8 tells us, he gave himself a ransom for all. And so Paul takes us, as it were, to Calvary. He takes us to the cross. And he says, I want you to understand that this one go-between, between God and man, has paid a price that we couldn't pay, paid a ransom that we couldn't pay. And how did he do it? He gave himself. Now, giving yourself is the greatest gift that anyone can give. You can't give any more than that. He couldn't give any more than himself. And I want to say this afternoon, that was the price that was necessary. Your salvation for us is a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, but salvation is costly, because it cost the Lord Jesus everything. Not simply that he came down from heaven, which he gladly did. Not simply that he lived a perfect life before man and before God. But he gave himself. It tells us, gives us an insight into the events of the crucifixion. It tells us that his death was not a life taken. It was a life given. It was a willing sacrifice. When Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 5, he speaks like this: he gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. You see, we were in the slave market of sin. We were slaved. The Lord Jesus taught that. He that commits sin is a servant of sin. And there needed to be a ransom paid for the release of the slaves. Paul saying, look, the ransom has been paid. The Lord Jesus gave himself a ransom on behalf of all. And now you and I can be redeemed. We can be released from our sins. We can be set free from the bondage that sin enslaves us with. Why? Because the ransom's been paid. The work has been done. And so we're not suggesting to you this afternoon that you or I can do anything for this, in the sense that we can contribute to salvation, because it's been done by another. It's been done by the Son of God, who gave himself a ransom for all. You say, when did it take place? It took place over 2,000 years ago, outside the city walls of Jerusalem, when the Lord Jesus laid down his life. That was when the ransom was paid. And we say to you this afternoon, it is still the time, it is still the season when this message of salvation can be proclaimed to you. It's available. That's what Paul means when he says at the end of verse 6, to be testified in due time. This is the due time. This is the occasion. This is the appointed season when this message of salvation can be made known and can be received. The character of God, he's a saviour God. He wants men saved. The will of God, he desires all men to be saved. The provision of God, Christ has died. Christ is the one mediator between God and men. But what am I going to do to it? What am I going to do with this? In chapter 1, we read the well-known verse in verse 15. This is a faithful saying, says Paul, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We need to accept it. We need to receive the Lord Jesus. We need to place our confidence in him and come into the good of the fact that this salvation is available. And so when you think about these three things, the character of God, he's a saviour God. He's provided salvation. He's the source of it. He's the heart of it. His will, his desires for men and women. He desires all men to be saved. What a wonderful, embracive statement. And we think of the, if you like, the office of Christ. He's the go-between. We think of the provision of Christ. He gave himself a ransom for all. What a cost has been paid that you and I can be saved, that our sins can be forgiven, that we can be given hope and a prospect of heaven at the end of life's short journey. But there now needs to be a response. What am I going to do with this? How am I going to respond to the fact that God is the source of salvation? You see, if God is the source of salvation, there's no point me trying to save myself. There's no point me trying to be a mediator between God and men if there is already one mediator between God and men. I cannot pay this ransom. It's been paid for me. But what I'm required to do is to accept the message of the gospel, and in particular, accept the Lord Jesus by faith. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of the acceptance of all, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What a wonderful message to have today. You know, there are many messages in our world, as we're well aware of, that are not for everyone. And there is not blessing for everyone. Our world is marked by inequality and disadvantage. But here is a message that has been provided, or a salvation that has been provided by God, procured by the Son of God, accompanied by the will of God, and we present him to you. The Lord Jesus says still, he said it when he was here, he says it still, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're not yet saved, we trust that you will think about these three things: the character of God, the will of God, the provision of God, and that you might accept the salvation which is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.